You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Friday to you. No football this weekend, at least not for the Razorbacks, and that's a good thing. I feel like it's a good time for a break for everybody. I like the fact that there are two bye weeks this season. I wish that we could get to a point in the college football, moving forward where there's two bye weeks every year. The way it works right now is it's like, the championship games are always set in December, and the kickoff weekend is always set Labor Day weekend. And every now and then you get an extra weekend that goes between Labor Day and between that first weekend in December. And that's why we've got two bye weeks this year. That's why there are two bye weeks next year, too. So no Razorback football. We're not going to talk a whole lot about Razorback football on today's podcast, but there is a lot that's going on in Razorback land. There's basketball news. We've got baseball going on this weekend. There's a softball exhibition over in Oklahoma State, or over in Tulsa against Oklahoma State this weekend. We'll talk about a lot of that today on the podcast. We'll start with basketball. The SEC finally, I think, released its final basketball schedule yesterday. Ethan, you said it's like round number 342 of the 2024-25 schedule release.
I got in the thousands with what I said, but I'm just a dramatic person in general. There's probably one more step. They're probably going to tell us there's going to be something about like the exact minute. Like, they say seven. They're going to be like, because it's on SEC Network, we're going to give you the final one where it's 7:02.
There are a few of these games that are, 6 or 6:30 p.m., ESPN or ESPN2, yeah. ESPN2 or ESPNU. So it never really ends. The whole, they go right down to the last second with a lot of the scheduling news.
I'm not calling you old, but you've been doing this.
You can go ahead and do it. I've got gray hair now.
You've been doing this a lot longer than me, obviously, but it feels like this has got to be the most drawn-out scheduling news. We had so many stops along the way to get this schedule that we finally have with times for every game. I mean, it took us so long with the SEC. I mean, it's like at first you get told who your opponents are going to be. Then you get told if it's home or maybe the home and away came at the same time. You lose track because they made this many steps.
And then there's the dates, and then they say, we'll give you the TV and the times later on.
And the dates was this year, it was like, these are your Monday. They didn't even give you like the exact date.
Oh, that's right.
They were like,
They did tell you who the weekend opponents were, but then in the midweek they said, well, it could be Tuesday, it could be Wednesday. Check back in 2 weeks. We'll let you know.
I mean, whoever's in charge of getting as much PR milked out of this, I mean, genius, because they got it.
They've definitely done it. So a few of the notes out of this Arkansas basketball schedule. We already knew the entire schedule in terms of dates, but now we know times, too. We'll go through who the non-conference opponents are. The real big deal here to me that I think is going to excite people is the fact that the Kansas exhibition game on October 25th over at Bud Walton is going to be an 8 o'clock tip-off on a Friday night, and it's going to be televised by SEC Network. That's going to be something that people are excited about, the fact that they're able to see this. And I was talking to Chip about this yesterday. Everything has kind of changed. I remember it wasn't 2-3 years ago. KU was playing, they were playing Illinois at Lindenwood in St. Charles, right outside of St. Louis. And it was a closed exhibition game. I mean, the only people who were in there were basically the players and the staff and, maybe a few administrators got to sit in and watch too. And it feels like over the last 2 or 3 years, whether it be Arkansas playing Purdue last year at Bud Walton or KU playing at Illinois last year, and that one was on Big Ten Network. There was an exhibition game between Tennessee and Michigan State on Big Ten Network last year. They've kind of said, okay, we're going to let everybody in and see what it's all about. And I think it makes your team better when you can play in front of fans and, kind of get the feel for that before the ball's tipped and, here's the real games. I know they used to do that against D2 teams in exhibition games, but there's a totally different deal playing a D2 game in front of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people if you're lucky, and playing a real quality Division I opponent in front of what's probably going to be a sold-out arena.
For sure. And I think that these exhibitions like this, these marquee ones, I mean, obviously you look at last year Arkansas beating Purdue in one. They're not always indicative of how your season's going to go, but it is a chance to actually test yourself before it starts. I mean, Arkansas, by beating Purdue last year, it kind of raised the bar as far as our expectations for that season, because you see them do that and thinking it's a Final Four team, and clearly that didn't pan out. But I do think that it did expose, like, we kept on referencing that exhibition throughout the year because it gave you a chance to see that Arkansas did have talent on that team, and it's what let you know that there were issues that happened, I don't know, locker room, whatever, to make that team not gel together. I think that, you wouldn't be able to make those type of conclusions that a team just didn't pan out at the end of the year if they had beaten, you know, D2 school from random town, USA. But by them beating Purdue, it did let us know that this was a team that should have been better. Getting eyeballs on a team early like that, it makes the guys, you know, you aren't going to sleepwalk through that. And I would love to see this thing go home in a way and play at Phog Allen next year.
It may happen. Yeah. Who knows? It may happen. Were you like me, and when you got the schedule, you scrolled down to February 1st? That was the first thing I did. You didn't do that?
No. February 1st, I'm assuming, is that Kentucky?
That's Kentucky. Yes, yeah, Kentucky. That's Calipari's return to Rupp.
Yeah, I just read what Anthony wrote.
Okay.
I didn't really go schedule surfing.
Well, when I got the schedule sent to me yesterday, that's the first thing I did. I scrolled to February 1st. I mean, I'm scrolling past Kansas. I'm scrolling past Michigan. I'm scrolling past all this. February 1st, 8 p.m. on ESPN, 8 p.m. Central. It'll be 9 p.m. local time in Lexington on ESPN. My hunch is that that game will be the College Game Day game of the week. It seems like,
sure.
It's not always this way, but it seems like a lot of time, and especially for basketball, that they're going to whatever their primetime game is, and primetime could be 6 p.m., it could be 8 p.m. on a Saturday night, but one of those primetime games on a Saturday night, that typically turns out to be the College Game Day game, and so that's my hunch that could be the game. And then you scroll forward one more week, 7 p.m. on a Saturday night, Alabama at Bud Walton Arena. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've noticed that too with how they do game day on the basketball side, that they mm-hmm. do look for, you know, what's their game they're going to highlight that week. I think Arkansas and Kentucky could be, number one, I think they're both going to be pretty good this year, but like, I think they could be not having the type of season that maybe some people expect, and that would still be game day. There's just so much intrigue about Calipari going back that I don't think that much can change that's going to be the game of the week that week.
Speaking of Arkansas, Kentucky, did you see this clip that from the AMP a couple of nights ago?
I did not.
Sturgill Simpson, who's a, I guess we'll call him a country music artist, he was playing the AMP, and he's from Kentucky. You hear the AMP from your, I know, you live right next to it. But anyway, he's from Kentucky. He was introducing his band members, and just take a listen to this clip.
Back here representing them Go Cats on the drums, Miles Miller. Don't be mad. You had your chance. Calipari's gone. Now get ready to get that ass whooped. You know what's coming. I'm just saying. Mark Pope ain't f***ing around, okay? Not to mix business with politics. All right, thank you very much. Good night. You guys are great. I'm just saying, go ahead, get it in. You know what's coming.
Yeah, so I wish Arkansas Kentucky was at Bud Walton too this year.
Oh my goodness, I didn't even know that happened. I was walking around. I go for night walks around on concert nights so I can hear a little bit. It's fun to eavesdrop. I didn't hear that said. All I heard was people complaining on their way out, saying how he changed his name or something.
I don't know.
Changed his name to something I don't remember. But wow, that's something to say. I wish it was in Bud Walton. If it was in Bud Walton, you know,
that'd be about the hardest ticket in 30 years.
I will say, it being in Lexington for his first game against him, though, it feels right
that so,
he's going to get to get that reception.
So, Arkansas, Kentucky, it'll be an 8 o'clock game. There were a lot of late games on this schedule.
Vandy at 9 p.m. is what stood out to me.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, who's staying up at 9 o'clock to watch Arkansas-Vanderbilt unless you're just a diehard Arkansas fan?
And it's in that gym, isn't it?
It's at Memorial College.
Oh, my goodness. That is a sicko game if I've ever seen one.
A 9 o'clock tip-off on, I think, a Tuesday night for Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
And this isn't your mom's Super Tuesday. This is your mom's.
No, this is like Sleepy Tuesday.
This is terrible. This isn't the Super Tuesday that we know from years past.
I'm going to need a nap before that game. A 9 o'clock tip-off for Arkansas and Vanderbilt. There's 8 games this year that tip off at 8 p.m. Central Time or later. Now, some of those are on the weekend, but a lot of them are on midweek games. And there's something about a 7 p.m. tip time that's just a sweet spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get a lot of those anymore. You can when they're on the app only, you know, like the SEC Network app. I think they're playing Lipscomb. Let me look here real quick. I think their season opener against Lipscomb. Yeah, it's a 7 o'clock tip-off at Bud Walton. It's only going to be on SEC Network Plus. There's a handful of those games, Troy, Pacific, Maryland, Eastern Shore, where you can start at 7. 7 o'clock tip-off is a sweet time because it's not too late where you're still going to be able to get home at a decent hour. But it's not too early to where you're trying to fight traffic to get over to the arena. 6 o'clock, a lot of people stay home, or it's a late-arriving crowd. 8 o'clock, a lot of people stay home because, you know, they might have work the next day on a midweek. 8 o'clock or later games. That's really what stood out to me about this schedule. So be prepared to stay up late for Razorback basketball this year. And I don't think this is going to end as long as John Calipari's the coach. Arkansas is going to get a lot of primetime spots because of this, and you kind of have to play the TV game when you're going to, you know, have TV paying you the way they do. The women's basketball schedule also finalized. They've got 10 games on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. 10 games. I think none of their SECs are on anything but SEC Network. But they have like non-conference game they'll play on Big Ten Network against UCLA, which is just so weird. I mean, yeah. I know it's like been months now, but I'm still like, wow, why are they playing UCLA?
It was still kind of jarring when I saw that yesterday, that game was going to be on Big Ten Network. And then you're going to be in Hot Springs and Pine Bluff this weekend watching the red-white scrimmages, right?
Yeah. And
you got to stop by the competing casinos?
Oh, absolutely not. I am going to be Hot Springs is home for me, so I'm going to be trying to see some family then, and I will put my eyeballs on some Razorback basketball with Bob Holt. He'll be with me.
And then you've got SEC basketball media days coming up next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Ethan's going to be there. Anthony Christensen will be there for us too. Is there anything that you're going to learn, you think, being down there that you don't already know?
I don't know if it's necessarily as much learning as it is just getting a better feel for, you know, I feel like at these type of events you can get a feel for how everybody nationally is kind of perceiving teams, and that's the big benefit to me. Is, you know, you can live in your bubble here in Arkansas and be as excited or not excited about a team as you want, and then you go to media day and you hear a national person talking about why they think Arkansas could be a sleeper or why they think Arkansas is overrated. I just like getting kind of that national perspective at it. Plus, you know, all coaches go into a media day and make it like their team's going to have a great season. I mean, everybody's the most optimistic before a season starts. But I think that you can at times sense genuine, like Sam Pittman this year, I believe at football medias, I was like, I genuinely think he thinks he has a good team. Mm-hmm. He's not just bluffing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's always interesting.
Arkansas soccer rebounded from their first loss last night. They beat Tennessee 5-0. They did not rush the field. They didn't tear down the crossbar or anything. 2 goals for Anaya Robinson.
They did play Rocky Top.
Did they?
Yep.
How pissed do you think people would be if like 20 people ran out on the field after a soccer game and they get a $500,000 fine because of it?
It'd be horrible.
Is it like if one person goes, does that qualify as a fine, or does it have to be like a certain headcount?
That's my question, because what if, you know, Tennessee's just really wanting a $500,000 check from Arkansas, so they send a flight full of people over to dress like hog fans and storm the soccer field because they know that beating's coming.
That's a great point.
You know, I don't know how it works.
Maybe you've given somebody an idea here.
I hope I didn't, because that's terrible.
I think the Razorbacks are still very good. They've got to get some help. They've got to win out probably to be able to catch Mississippi State and at least clinch a share of the SEC championship. They go to Oklahoma on Sunday. Always tricky games for soccer on Sunday. Arkansas at OU on Sunday. We'll talk about baseball here in just a minute. Softball is going to be in Tulsa this weekend. They're going to be playing Tulsa at 12:30. This is on the TU campus in downtown Tulsa. And then they'll play Oklahoma State at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Oklahoma State's been to the Women's College World Series 5 years in a row. Tulsa's not a bad program. This is a real good test for Courtney Dyfel's group.
Exactly. It's a barometer, I think, of how far along this new team that she has is she's relying on a lot of freshmen this year, but they are really good. That's the thing. It's like you don't go into a season doing this as long as she has, relying on freshmen without knowing what you have in them. She knew what she had because they are some absolute I think that you keep this freshman class together with them, and they're the, like, you've already had groups that have been program changers in the past that stuck together and mm-hmm. played years. I think this could be that group that's a program changer in the fact that they take it to a level it hasn't been yet. This is going to be a big test, though.
And yeah, we're going to have a lot of Arkansas-Oklahoma State baseball discussion coming up. We'll have Daniel Allen of the Ocali here in just a few minutes to talk about the Razorbacks and the Cowboys. More coming up after a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being here. I want to tell you about our friends over at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, up there next to Ethan, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Hey, speaking of Rogers, your Mounties lost to the Purple Dogs last weekend. That was a fun game.
Yeah, they almost I tuned in off and on, and I caught the last minute.
I feel like I watched it wasn't the same game, but very similar endings between Fayetteville-Rogers last Friday night and then Arkansas-Tennessee on Saturday. Fayetteville scores a touchdown with 58 seconds left to go ahead. Rogers comes down. They run the band is on the field play, a lateral play. They get to the Fayetteville 8-yard line as time expires. And then, you know, so you leave that, and then you go to Razorback Stadium the next night. Arkansas scores a late touchdown to go up, and here comes Tennessee right down at the end. I mean, it felt very much like watching the same game.
I don't know if we have any field rushing fines at the high school level, but had Rogers pulled that one off with that
on
last
homecoming?
Play,
yeah.
I don't know if they pay the other school, but Fayetteville would have been getting a check. You know,
Fayetteville play-by-play guy might have.
Surely they don't have anything high school for.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But I feel like at high school it could actually get more dangerous because people are crazy at high school games.
I think our play-by-play booth and the coaches booth next to us, we may have just all fallen out the window had Rogers been able to finish off.
Hey, my Mounties.
They're a good team.
They're a good team.
They had quarterback Jeff Regan, who just was an absolute one-man wrecking show last week. So we love high school football here, by the way. Arkansas and Oklahoma State, speaking of Friday night, they're going to play tonight. It's going to be a 6 p.m. first pitch over at Baumwalker Stadium. They're going to play again tomorrow, Saturday at noon. Friday will be a 9-inning game. Saturday is going to be a doubleheader, a couple of 5-inning games. And there's going to be about a 15-minute break in between for the players to cool off, for them to fix the field again. Dave Van Horn spoke to the media yesterday, and he had to say this about why Arkansas and Oklahoma State are playing.
Well, we were going to play in Omaha in an event, and they were supposed to be there with us. Both of our football teams have a bye weekend. And when it got canceled up there in Omaha, about right before school started, just talked with them. And we almost got Nebraska to come down here as well, but that kind of fell through. Those are the teams that we're going to play up there. So Oklahoma State was close. They wanted to play, and kind of started out, we're going to play on Friday. Then we, thought about why not play again on Saturday, and they were all for it. For them to take a road trip and kind of get the feel for playing on the road, and I'm sure we'll have a pretty good amount of fans out there. It'll be good experience for both teams that way.
Dave Van Horn on Arkansas Play in Oklahoma State. Of course, this was going to be in Omaha. This was going to be so much fun. I was so looking forward to this summer when I heard Arkansas was going to go up to Omaha and play these teams. He mentioned Oklahoma State. He mentioned Nebraska. I think there might have been one other local team there in the Omaha area that was going to be a part of this. I was like, you know, it's going to be beautiful October, Nebraska. I'm going to get to experience Omaha now in the fall and not the, you know, not the hot, humid, muggy Father's Day type stuff. We're having a heat wave in October. It would have been like 80 degrees there for a game on Saturday. They're going to play Saturday and Sunday, I think. But Sunday, that cold front that's coming here is going to go through Omaha. 64 northwest winds at 18 miles an hour. That was going to be a lot of fun. We were going to get our fall experience in Nebraska. Not going to get it now. We're going to have a couple of hot days out at Baumwalker Stadium. But Arkansas, Oklahoma State, this is a lot of fun to me. Because you think about these teams, they are regional powers. Arkansas, obviously, you know, real competitive in the SEC. Oklahoma State, very, very good in the Big 12. And the same thing with softball, Arkansas and Oklahoma State playing this weekend. This is going to make both of these teams better.
Yeah, what a year of sports playing Oklahoma State. My goodness. Which ones haven't? I mean, women's basketball scheduled to play them, softball, baseball, football.
No men's basketball. Unless they made the tournament.
But Devo Davis is there now, so we still have a connection with them. I mean, it's just a weird – this has been the year of Arkansas-Oklahoma State just coming together. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun weekend at Baumwalker. I know that people love fall baseball in the first place, but you add a team like that coming to town, and it just magnifies. I think that's the type of thing that gets people really you know, you want to keep your fan base engaged all year round, mm-hmm. and that's the type of weekend that can keep fans talking about that for months.
It's free. There's no cost of admission. Parking is free. Everything is free coming in there. I think they're going to have concessions. You can even bring food and drinks into the outfield. You can't bring it into the main seating area. I'm interested to see what kind of attendance there's going to be. I would not be surprised at all if on Friday night or Saturday afternoon you're pushing 5,000 people in that ballpark, which goes to show how big of a deal baseball is at Arkansas, that in the middle of football season, you're potentially drawing several thousand people into a baseball scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I might be remembering wrong, but the Super Regional in Stillwater a few years ago.
It was a regional.
Or regional at Stillwater. How big is their ballpark?
I think they can get about 6,000-7,000 in there.
And did they pack it for that?
Oh, yeah.
Regional?
A lot of red in there.
But, I mean, just the fact that Arkansas could potentially, for a fall scrimmage, get about as many that were in that ballpark for a regional.
But in fairness, if they had a 10,000 seat ballpark, they would have had 10,000 in there that weekend.
They don't have it though.
But they don't. They could get it. That ballpark, don't judge a ballpark by attendance. That is, for my money, maybe the best ballpark in America. O'Braid Stadium at Stillwater. It's beautiful.
All I was trying to say is you could get as many eyeballs in a stadium on these two teams playing because it's at Baumwalker.
Yeah.
That
you, no, I understand.
It's a cool deal.
This is a different looking Arkansas team. We've had Matt Hobbs, we've had Nate Thompson on our podcast in previous weeks, just talking about how different things are offensively. More small ball principles. They're still going to hit home runs. They're still going to have some power. But they're going to be, I think, a more well-rounded baseball team. I think they're going to be more aggressive on the bases, quicker overall, and you know, more athletic. That's what Van Horn said at the end of last season. They're going out and they're trying to recruit better athletes. What I've seen from this team is that they're going up the middle and they're going to the opposite field a lot more offensively. They really like how this team looks offensively. I think that the pitching is going to be fine. They've got a lot of veteran pitchers in. They've got some new pitchers in. You know, be it a Zach Root, a Landon Beidelschies, Aiden Jimenez from Oregon State, who hasn't been able to pitch yet because he's rehabbing a surgery that he had back in February. The point being that I think this is going to be a real well-rounded Razorback baseball team. They haven't scrimmaged as much this fall as they typically do. Typically, you go over there in the fall, and they're scrimmaging every day. It's been a lot more practicing this fall, and Dave Van Horn had this to say about that.
You haven't scrimmaged as much. That's probably the first thing I could tell you, that, you know, we don't have the near as many at bats as we've had probably the previous 7 or 8 falls here. You know, normally probably around 80 at bats is what you'd get in the fall. We scrimmage a lot. The guys are mostly 40 at bats maybe. And just because we've done a lot more just practicing. And what I mean by that is, you know, working on skills and really offensively working on other things besides, you know, just hitting, you know, working on a lot of base running and, you know, bunting, things like that, putting a lot of time with that. So hopefully it'll pay off.
Oklahoma State's got a solid team coming back. They've got five position players who started 37 or more games last season. That was a team that hosted a regional, didn't make it past the regional, had a disappointing regional weekend, just like Arkansas. One of their big returners, if not their big returner, is Nolan Schubert. He's an All-America outfielder. Baseball America rates him the number 22 draft prospect in this year's class, potentially one of two first-rounders on the field on Saturday. Vahiba Aloy, also ranked number 20 for the Razorbacks in that Baseball America rankings. Jason Jones, who was at Arkansas for the last couple of years, he's over at Oklahoma State now, transferred there over the offseason. He's a potential starter at third base for them. There's a lot of good talent that's going to be on this field, and Dave Van Horn had to say this about exhibition games making players better.
The thing about an exhibition game is, you know, our hitters get to see different arms. You know, when you get toward the end of fall ball, you know, they might have seen the same pitcher four times, once a week or whatever. Might not be on the same team or face them every weekend, but you're seeing it. And, you know, when you're facing outside competition, it's just different feel. Sometimes you find out some things about guys both ways. Hey, these guys a gamer. Lights come on, here they go, and it's a little different motor. And maybe you find out that some guys are a little bit nervous right now, and this might help them get over it a little bit, you know, heading into the spring.
So Arkansas, Oklahoma State again, 6 o'clock on Friday night, noon on Saturday. If you'll come to our website, wholehogsports.com, we're going to have a lot of coverage from this, including some in-game updates. No television, no radio, anything like that. You have to be there to see it. And we'll have plenty of coverage for you if you're not able to be at the ballpark this weekend. It's always fun when Arkansas and Oklahoma State get together. Ethan mentioned the regional. They played last year in Arlington. They played the year before that in Arlington. Arkansas smoked them in Arlington a couple of seasons ago. Last year, they played a 14-inning thriller that Oklahoma State won on a squeeze bunt in the 14th inning at about midnight in Globe Life Field.
And people love baseball because I thought our website was going to explode that night.
I thought we might crash. We had so many people following along on that game.
That was a wild game. I remember that very vividly, that one.
Let's move on to predictions here real quick. We're going to have Daniel Allen coming up here in a few minutes, by the way, to talk about Oklahoma State. We'll start with one out-of-conference game. It's the game of the weekend. Ohio State ranked number 2 at number 3, Oregon. It's the game day game. Kind of interesting. Kirk Herbstreit is going to be leaving game day an hour early because he's going to be having to make the flight from Eugene to Dallas to call the Red River game at 2:30 in the afternoon. But this is the game of the week, Ohio State, Oregon, and it's a Big Ten game now.
Yeah, it's the game of the week. I mean, for a reason. These are two good teams. I mean, these are two teams that I expect will make the playoff at the end of the day. I'm gonna pick Oregon.
Really?
I think that we talked about it a little bit last week. This traveling just across the country can take a toll, and I just think that it gives a benefit to the home team a lot of the time. Whenever I think that a game is pretty evenly matched, in these ones, I think I'm going to go with the home team more often than not. That win against Boise State, I'm just going to say it. Like, people were kind of hitting the panic button, I think, on Oregon because they beat Idaho by 10, then beat Boise State by 3. I think Boise State's pretty good. I'm not fretting about them only winning by 3. I think the Boise State's a team that's going to contend at the end of the year.
Would you put the Boise State running back in the Heisman consideration?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to consider the teams he's playing, but the numbers that he's putting up are just incredible.
Yeah, insane.
I'm going to go with Ohio State. Oregon, I've not been impressed with Dylan Gabriel as their quarterback. They've had some close calls. You mentioned Boise State. That wasn't the only close call they had. They had one on opening weekend against an FCS team. I've been more impressed with Ohio State to this point, so I think that they beat Oregon. But, hey, we'll be tuning in. That ought to be a really fun game. That's going to be a 6:30 kickoff, and it'll be on NBC and Peacock on Saturday night. In the SEC, there's one out-of-conference game, and then there's a lot of conference games. There's a few teams that are off this weekend, too. How about, Ethan, just give me a quick thought on Missouri going to UMass.
I believe UMass, this is like their first of two games against SEC teams. I think they maybe play Mississippi State.
Okay.
And a little bit. I mean, this is a bad UMass team.
Very bad.
I'm not high on Mizzou, but I'm really not high on UMass.
It goes to underscore the Missouri schedule is not very good.
I was wrong. This is the first of three SEC games. They're hosting Mizzou, then they're playing at Mississippi State and at Georgia. Mm. So the Minutemen, they're 1-5 right now against the likes of they've lost to, you know, Eastern Michigan, Buffalo.
The only team they've beaten is Central Connecticut State.
Yeah, and they've got three SEC teams left on the schedule.
Well, Missouri's going to win this. Yeah. They're going to stay in the top 25, but they are not a top 25 team. It goes to underscore the weakness of their schedule. Saturday SEC games kick off with South Carolina at number 7 Alabama. It'll be an 11 a.m. game on ABC, and the Crimson Tide are a 21-point favorite and probably a little bit mad after losing to Vanderbilt.
For sure. I'm going to pick Alabama. Just, yeah, what a letdown last week for them. The secondary I don't think is very good for them.
The whole defense. Yeah, the whole defense.
But South Carolina doesn't impress me overly much. No. I think this is not a good week for them to go to Alabama.
I mean, South Carolina, I think they'll score some points because I don't think Alabama's defense is very good. But I think Alabama, they'll have revenge in mind. I saw a stat the other day that Alabama – going back to 2010, I think, they've lost 8 times on the road, and every time they've lost on the road, somebody has stormed the field against them.
Yeah.
So they're 8-for-8 in opposing teams storming the field against them when they lose on the road.
I do think this one might be a little bit closer than – I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't see Alabama losing.
I'll circle back to what I think is the big SEC game of the week. 3:15 SEC Network, Mississippi State goes to Georgia. The only thing that these two teams have in common are their mascot and their SEC affiliation.
Yep, you nailed it. Georgia's going to win this one big.
And the line started out at 32 this week. It's moved up to 34 in Georgia's favor. Mississippi State defense really bad. I think it's a good get-right week for Carson Beck and that Georgia offense. Florida goes to Tennessee. It'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. The Vols are a 14.5-point favorite, and I feel like they can cover that probably pretty easily because – Florida, they've got some offensive problems. Tennessee, I still think their defense is really good. And Florida's defense not very good. And you know Tennessee's going to have a plan to bounce back offensively. And it's Tennessee's first home game at Neyland this year in the SEC.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a comfortable Tennessee win. I do think Florida's trending in the right direction of improving. But they just, I think we said this, they have such a schedule that it doesn't really matter how much they're improving along the way. I think that it's kind of just such a gauntlet that they're going to get beat up and just, I don't see it being a good final record for the Gators, but I think they're going to be competitive, but I don't see Tennessee losing.
Vanderbilt, we'll see if they can come down from the high. They go to Kentucky on Saturday night. It'll be a 6:45 kickoff on SEC Network. The Wildcats are a 12.5-point favorite. It was 14 when this opened this week. I was astonished that Kentucky was a 14-point favorite over anybody with the way that they've struggled offensively.
Yeah, they are coming off a bye week. I believe, and so that's big. I'm gonna pick Kentucky. I think Vandy got their moment against. It's weird to say got their moment against Alabama. I mean, that's more than a moment. That's the highlight of their program right now.
The efficiency ratings say that Vanderbilt wins this by 1 point, but I just think with Kentucky being at home and Vanderbilt having to come off that high last week, I feel like Kentucky wins this game. And Mark Stoops is a good coach. I mean, Mark Stoops, more often than not, has Kentucky ready to go.
Also, we've talked about Alabama's defense has a lot of problems. I don't think Kentucky is the type of defense that Vanderbilt's going to go against and just...
That'll be an interesting matchup because Vanderbilt offensively, right now, according to the efficiencies, third in the SEC in offensive efficiency. Kentucky, one of the best defensive teams. That's one of those fascinating, you know, matchup, inside the matchup type deals. I think Kentucky wins it. This is where, like, Arkansas not playing this week after beating Tennessee, I think is a huge deal where they get a week to kind of get that out of their system, and then they can move on. Vanderbilt probably could have used an off week before going on the road to play Kentucky. We'll have our eyes on this one. Number 9 Ole Miss at number 13 LSU. It'll be a 6:30 kickoff Saturday night on ABC. The Rebels on the road are a 3.5-point favorite in Death Valley.
Yeah, it's... If this game was played at Ole Miss, I'd be really confident picking the Rebels. I'm still going to pick them, but I don't know. It's just setting up to be like one of those close games. I remember last year when they played, that was a wild game, if I remember.
It usually is when they get together.
I mean, whatever the final score was last year, it was like added together near 100 points, I think. Let me look real quick. It was 55-49 Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. A shootout.
Shootout game, and I think that you once again have two good offenses with defenses that we don't know.
I think Ole Miss's defense is really good. Efficiency-wise, they're the best defense in the SEC.
Well, yeah, I guess whenever you play Kentucky and South Carolina.
It helps. I'm not saying they've played the best schedule, but still, I mean, they've shut down the teams when they've had to play.
This is the first time they're going to be really tested, in my opinion.
I don't trust LSU.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
I don't trust LSU. I trust Ole Miss more than I trust LSU. I think Ole Miss is a fringe playoff team. And in order to get to the playoffs, they're going to have to win a lot of games, and they're going to have to win a game like this. I'm going to take Ole Miss on the road to beat LSU. I think they're a better team. And then finally, the big SEC game of the weekend. Some might think it's Ole Miss and LSU. I think it's Red River. The first time that you get a Red River SEC game. Texas ranked number one. They're undefeated. Oklahoma, I don't know how to feel about Oklahoma, but they are 4-1, and they're ranked number 18. This is going to be a 2:30 kickoff in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Texas State Fair, and it'll be televised on ABC. The Longhorns are a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and it sounds about right to me. I think it's going to be about that score. I'm really confident in Texas this year just of what they have. I just don't feel the same way about Oklahoma. I just still have too many questions, especially with that offense.
Quinn Ewers is going to be back this weekend for the Longhorns. He's going to be starting. Oklahoma's defense is really good. That's the one thing I want to see is, how good can Oklahoma's defense be against that Texas offense? Because Oklahoma, I feel like in order to win this game, because of their offensive problems, they do have a new quarterback, and we'll see how things go with Michael Harris now, but they're going to have to keep this a low-scoring game. And if they can keep it a low-scoring game, then it becomes really interesting. If Texas can jump out and score a couple of touchdowns in his first three or four drives, I think Oklahoma's going to have a tough time keeping up with them. I'll be interested to go see how that goes. Texas, I think they win. I want to see if OU can keep it closer than people think. You want to know why Texas and OU are in the league? It's this game in large part. The SEC adds a huge rivalry game to its TV inventory, and you know this is going to be a big weekend for the SEC getting to showcase this.
Yeah, and I will say it helps that, you know, Texas has Georgia next week, and a lot of times you can get caught in that trap game against an opponent the week before. That won't happen this week because it's the Red River rivalry. It kind of spares them from that.
I love this game. I love watching this game every year. I'm telling you, if Arkansas wasn't playing Oklahoma State, I might find myself down in Dallas watching this thing because it's an experience that I've always wanted to have is to go just see that stadium 50-50 down the middle and experience that. I think it's one of the great rivalries in college sports. So Texas and OU on Saturday afternoon. ABC. I think we're both taking Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see if OU can keep it close. All right. Daniel Allen will be with us here in just a few minutes as we continue to look forward to Arkansas, Oklahoma State. He covers the Cowboys baseball program. Ethan, have fun on your road trip through Hot Springs, Pine Bluff, Birmingham. Anything else?
Pit stop in Little Rock some barbecue. I think that's what Chris Stapleton says. But we're actually just making a pit stop for sleep. So
hopefully you don't have the blue lights in your rear view by West Memphis.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Have a good trip. We'll talk to Ethan next week from Birmingham. Daniel Allen coming up in just a moment after another word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We're joined now by Daniel Allen. He covers the Oklahoma State baseball program for the Ocala newspaper. And I've seen Daniel around at a lot of Arkansas-Oklahoma State baseball games over the last few years. Daniel, thanks for being with us. The games this weekend, I know they're just exhibition games, but you know, from talking to the people over at Oklahoma State, whether it be Josh Holliday, players, assistant coaches, what's the feel that you get about, you know, what they're wanting to see this weekend?
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate you guys having me. Always a pleasure, you know, like you said, running into you guys at baseball games when OSU and Arkansas meet, which there's been quite a bit of those in recent years. So it's always good to hear from you guys. The vibe I get from what they're trying to gauge from this weekend is, what is the starting rotation going to look like? You know, OSU, they got some pretty good transfers in the portal on the mound, obviously. But, when you're having to retool your pitching rotation for a third straight offseason, it can be kind of hard to navigate that, right? Especially when you have so much talent coming in, whether it be from the portal or from the high school level. They have a couple of top 200 recruits that they're hoping to use, that I know of, that they're hoping to use this weekend and obviously in the spring. So I think the main thing they're trying to pinpoint is, you know, what their pitching staff's going to look like in the spring, or at least make some conscious effort towards materializing that. But whenever you look at the offense, I think that's one of the most set things when it comes to OSU, because you return so many offensive pieces, most notably Nolan Schubert. You have Avery Ortiz coming back for his sophomore year. He had a pretty good freshman year last year. You got Colin Brigham, and you have both catchers back. OSU's pretty set offensively, but what they're trying to navigate this weekend is kind of get a feel for what their pitching staff's going to look like.
So let's talk about the pitchers, and you tell me what you know about these newcomers. Baseball America's got Oklahoma State with three transfers who are in the top 100 among portal players. You've got Sean Youngerman, a right-hander who came in from Westmont College, a D2 school. Hunter Watkins, another right-hander who I think came in from Grand Canyon. And then a lefty, Harrison Bodendorf from Hawaii. What have you seen from those three, and are they? Do you expect to see them a whole lot this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what. The feel I got was that they're going to throw Harrison quite a bit, whether that be split innings on tonight, this evening, Friday, or and then some more on Saturday. I'm not sure of, but I know they're planning to use him quite a bit. And if you look on paper, he probably should be their ace. You never want to pinpoint an ace in the fall, especially with someone like Rob Walton, right? But the vibe I get is that they're hoping that he can pan out to be their ace. Sean Youngerman, yeah, I mean he's really thrown out of a bullpen role primarily this fall so far. I wrote something for our Friday paper this week. I wouldn't be shocked if they try and kind of mold him into a starting role. In a midweek role. And then Hunter Watkins obviously has starting experience at Grand Canyon. You know, he's 6'8", like you mentioned. He can throw a really good fastball. Being that tall, it can kind of disguise the fastball real well. So I know they're hoping to get some quality innings out of him this weekend. But what you see is kind of what you get with OSU when it comes to the pitching staff, especially in the fall. Like I said, they're really just with so much talent, and I truly don't think they've had this much talent on the mound in a couple years, at least since that 22 team. I think with having so much talent, they're just trying to get a feel for which guys will be best in which roles. And, you know, what better team to gauge that upon than a team like Arkansas on the road?
Of course, Arkansas, they're going to start Gabe Gackle tonight. He'll be the first pitcher on the mound. The expectation that I have from Arkansas is that you're probably not going to see pitchers for more than two innings, and it's probably going to be, you know, the starter types are maybe going to get a couple of innings, and then the bullpen types are going to get an inning, and they're going to try to get everybody or most of their pitchers some work this weekend against Oklahoma State. You mentioned Nolan Schubert, All-American last year. How good is he?
He's one of the best bats I've ever seen, and I've watched. You know, I've covered college baseball for 3 years, but I've watched it since I was about five. And, God, that's a special bat. I know you guys have seen it firsthand. Obviously, he was, you know, in a bit of a rut early on in the season when OSU played Arkansas last year, early on in the season. But, you know, once he got back from injury after he suffered that injury at DBU a year ago, you really kind of got to, you really saw him get going, and obviously led the team in batting average, had multiple three home run games. I can't tell you the last time I've seen someone or seen that from someone in the sport. And yeah, he's a real good power bat. He's legit. I mean, the vibe I get from scouts when talking to them is that he's a pretty surefire first round pick. So I know OSU is going to try to relish just this last year with him. That's for sure.
Jason Jones, who spent 2 years at Arkansas, is over there now. I believe he's in the third base battle. Where do you see his role on this team?
Third base battle, like you said. I know the good thing for OSU is that they have a lot of depth in the middle infield and just the infield holistically. You got Aiden Miola. He's played third base. You got Jason Jones. I know they've played him in the outfield some in the fall, so he could be a viable option there. But, you know, I know a year ago, OSU got Lane Forsythe from Mississippi State, a really good defensive player, wasn't real flashy on offense. That's kind of what you're getting, in my opinion, with Jason Jones. Pretty good defensively, hasn't had a great track record offensively, but obviously, you know, watching college baseball as long as you have, that, you know, just the slightest change in scenery can be an adrenaline boost for a prospect. And with someone as talented, with as much upside as Jason has, you know, the coaches have been really high on him in the fall. So far, I think he's going to hold a pretty big role wherever that is, whether that's at third base, the outfield, or wherever.
With Josh Holliday, I've covered him enough that I know not to ask him about Arkansas after he loses. So I asked him about Arkansas after he won last season in February down in Arlington, and you were there too, I know. You know, and he said that's a hell of a program. He said that, you know, they bring the best out of each other whenever they play. What do you think about, you know, what do you think his thoughts are on Arkansas, and why do you think they scheduled this just in terms of the you know, the ability to make each other better? And why do you think it is Arkansas and Oklahoma State bring out the best in each other? Because their games are always a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, anytime I see Arkansas on the schedule, I'm looking forward to it because I make a conscious effort to try to I don't want to say bribe's not the best word, but persuade my editor into letting me go cover that game because I know it's going to be a heck of a game. I mean, you know, these are two real storied college baseball programs, obviously as of late too. You know, OSU's made a regional every year under Josh since 2013. In that same span, I believe Arkansas has only missed two regionals, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I mean, they're two perennial college baseball powerhouses, always loaded with talent. And you know, I think I don't want to say the standard was officially set, but you kind of saw a foundation laid a couple years ago when these two teams met in Stillwater for that regional. And I think the vibe is just kind of carried off from there. Why they scheduled it, you know, I know from what I've heard, I know Josh is always open to playing Arkansas. You know, they used to do a yearly home and home, midweek home and home.
Oh yeah.
And then that kind of went away. I know they did it again in 2016. And frankly, you know, as a college baseball fan, I wish they'd do it more. It's only about a 2.5 hour drive. Like I said, two really good programs, and you know, OSU doesn't have much on its itinerary in terms of fall games this fall. So I know they're really trying to get a good gauge of where this team's at early on. Obviously, fall ball analysis is always a crapshoot. Players get better drastically, even in the middle of the season, especially in the fall. But I think it's a good opportunity for both programs, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it.
How much better do you think the Cowboys would be right now if they had Jackson Holliday?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I need to speak much on that. I think they'd arguably have the best middle infield in college baseball. But, you know, I mean, Jackson's fun to watch, seeing the Terry's been on since returning to the big leagues. He's a special player, and you know, every once in a while you'll see him around the clubhouse, around the stadium when he's with Matt visiting. So it hasn't been very much lately, obviously, but my God, he's a special player.
And then
special
Matt, player. And then Matt Holliday and Josh has a nephew, Ethan Holliday, who's committed to Oklahoma State, but I think he's expected to go one or two in this next year's draft.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Ethan Holliday on campus. I really don't. You know. we were just talking about how special of a player Jackson was. The vibe I get is that Ethan might be better than Jackson at this point in Jackson's career. You know, he's taller, he's bigger, arguably at this point has more power than what Jackson had. And obviously, I know everyone knows how powerful Jackson was as a senior in high school. So, yeah, again, just runs in the Holiday family. And, you know, wherever he ends up, I'm looking forward to watching him.
I said earlier that I think O'Brate Stadium is maybe the best stadium in college baseball. You know, take the attendance away. I'm just talking about the ballpark itself. It's a beautiful ballpark. And if you know anything about where Oklahoma State came from, Allie P. Reynolds, you can the upgrade in ballpark, I don't even know if you can put it into words. You're coming to Baum this weekend for the first time, you said.
Right.
And you were a little surprised when I told you that I think there might be 4,000 or 5,000 people in the seats. What are you expecting to see?
I've never seen an Arkansas home game. Football, and I know baseball is a different breed. Anytime Arkansas is on the road, their fan base just travels so well. And it's like a home game, especially when it's in Stillwater, when it's local, even when it's mm-hmm. I remember 2 years ago when OSU played Arkansas in the College Baseball Showdown to open the season. It's basically an Arkansas home game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how far away in driving distance off the top of my head Arlington is to Fayetteville, but I know it's a bit of a drive. So that's impressive. So, you know, I like I said, I've never been to Fayetteville for an Arkansas home game for any sport. But, you know, when you tell me you'd expect 5,000 some odd people for a fall game, I'd 100% believe it. I mean, I know how good the Arkansas fan base is, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in Fayetteville.
That'll be a lot of fun this weekend, Arkansas and Oklahoma State. Saturday, its game will be at noon, Friday night tonight, if you're listening beforehand. 6 o'clock will be the first pitch out at Baumwalker Stadium tonight, Saturday at noon. The plan is to play a 9-inning game on Friday and 2 5-inning games on Saturday. Hope you come to our website throughout the weekend. You can go read the Ocala if you want to read Daniel's coverage from an Oklahoma State perspective. Daniel, we appreciate you being with us.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
All right, and we'll see you out at Baum this weekend. Hey, we hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com, this weekend. We'll be back with another podcast. We'll talk about Arkansas, Oklahoma State. We'll also start our look ahead to the Razorbacks football game with LSU. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.